A Prime Time with Clarissa Montero replay from Money FM 89.3. Coffee with Clarissa on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. If you've just joined us, I'm Clarissa Montero. In the studio with me, Hank Rogers, founder and chairman of Blue Planet Foundation. Blue Planet Foundation is Hawaii's leading voice in achieving clean energy through driving transformation. Its founder is a man on a mission, a serial entrepreneur who aims to end the use of carbon-based fuel. He's committed to the mission of stewarding the environment through developing non-carbon clean energy sources. He also aims to help our planet reduce and eventually eliminate its dependence on fossil fuels. Here to tell us more about clean energy and maybe how it can be relevant to us here in Singapore is Hank Rogers, founder and chairman, Blue Planet Foundation and managing director of the Tetris Company. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Tetris as in the game.
As in the game.
Oh, I played Tetris as a child.
Have you now?
So you are not young.
I am not young.
But today we're talking about Blue Planet Foundation. Unpack it for us. The whole idea of clean energy in Singapore is very, very new. We are very reliant on our carbon fuel.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean that you can't find a way to use clean energy in the future.
Right.
We ship carbon-based fuel all around the planet using tankers for coal and gas and oil. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can now produce hydrogen with renewable resources and ship that around the world instead. Hydrogen is a clean source of energy for making electricity or even ground transportation. And the only byproduct when you burn hydrogen or when you use hydrogen is water.
Right. And that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing.
That's good. Okay. Something usually triggers someone to become more environmentally conscious, to be more sustainable. Did you have a trigger to make you a clean energy enthusiast?
Yes, it's called a heart attack.
I don't see the connection. Yeah, you've got to tell us more.
So a month after I sold my company or one of my companies, I found myself in the back of an ambulance going to the hospital with 100% blockage of the Widowmaker. Mm-hmm. And it's my first company I sold, so I said, you've got to be kidding me. I haven't spent any of the money yet.
Right.
That's the first thing I thought. And the second thought was, no, I'm not going. I still have stuff to do.
Right.
And of course, I recovered. I have two stents. And I got to think about what is it that's going to upset me if I haven't done anything about it by the time I really go away for the rest. And so I found my missions in life, my bucket list, if you will. And my first mission is to end the use of carbon-based fuel. And I moved to Hawaii when I was 18 and fell in love with the ocean, fell in love with the coral. And while I was in the recovery room, there was an article in the back of the newspaper. It said something around like, oh, by the way, we're going to kill all the coral in the world by the end of the century. And I said to myself, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We're not allowed to do that.
And you know what? We're doing a really good job of that.
Yes, we are. And it's ocean acidification. That's what I read about at the time. It's carbon dioxide being absorbed into the ocean, which is changing the pH of the ocean to the point where coral dissolves faster than coral can grow coral. Right. And, you know, coral, in my mind, coral is just a bit of the ocean that we get to see. There's lots and lots of microscopic things, plankton, that we don't get to see.
Right.
And if we acidify the ocean to a point and collapse the food chain, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Who knows what's going to happen? What we can see is the bleaching of the coral. And for me, I grew up on islands, not necessarily this one, but I've grown up on islands and I've spent a lot of my time in the sea. And from the time I was a child to the time I last went back to what was my first home, I couldn't believe the damage to the corals. It used to be so vibrant and so colorful. The fish are gone. The corals are dead. It was devastation and it was heartbreak for me.
Yeah.
Because what happened to my childhood playground?
Anybody who has ever been, spent time on a reef and then gone back will have the same feeling. I mean, the Great Barrier Reef is such a disaster. And we still have a chance to do something, but we have to do something right away.
There are rather alarming numbers about that. I mean, there has been a study that said we've got 12 years to fix things or it's too late. Do you agree with that?
I'm not a person, I'm not a scientist, so I can't agree or disagree with scientists. I just know that as a businessman or as a, as a missionary in this case, I guess, it's time for us to take action.
Stop talking about it, let's
do
it. Yeah,
exactly. The Paris Agreement was very nice and everybody talked and held hands, kumbaya and all that. But the time is not for talk. It's like, to me, I feel that like this is World War III. And World War III means we're not going to sit around and talk for a couple of years while we figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. We've got to put on our boots and start moving now.
Well, first we've got to convince larger powers that it actually is happening.
Maybe that's part of it. But I'm not even waiting for that. You know, anybody can be called to action. And I'm calling myself to action. I made a pledge last New Year's. I usually make a pledge. This time it was not about losing weight. It was, I'm going to become sustainable.
Right.
And so I said, as an individual human being, it shouldn't be that hard. So I said, I'm going to become 100% sustainable by 2020. And I have no idea what that means, but I do know that I'm going to have to do it and figure it out.
Right. We are talking to Hank Rogers, founder and chairman of Blue Planet Foundation. Okay, let's talk about sustainability. It is a big word. It's a buzzword right now. Everybody's talking about sustainability alongside clean energy. Do you see a difference or do you see parallels, or are they both part of the same whole?
Well, if we don't learn how to live sustainably on this planet will get rid of us, basically. Mm-hmm. And so where do you start with that? Where is the worst damage being done? And I believe the worst damage is being done with carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere because it lasts for a long time. Mm. You know, the garbage that we pour into landfills can be dug up later and we can get minerals or whatever from that stuff. And the ocean, although it's a bigger problem, I think also we can find ways to mitigate it. But the atmosphere is really hard. Once it's up there, it's hard to get it back down. And so we need to take action to stop carbon dioxide from going into the atmosphere now.
So talk about some of the programs that Blue Planet Foundation offers.
Well, Blue Planet Foundation is basically we've done public outreach. What we do is we move the people and then we work with the people to move the politicians. And then the politicians move and then the government changes. Mm-hmm. So we managed to go from... No, it's impossible for us to go renewable because Hawaii's an island. We don't have anything, blah, 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 which is all nonsense. Mm-hmm. To where the politician said, or the government said, we are going to go 100% renewable by 2045. And the biggest opponent to this move was the electric company. They fought us tooth and nail. And when we got through, then the electric company actually looked at the problem and they came up with a plan and they actually publicly said, you know what, we can do this. We can change to renewables. And in the process, we'll save ratepayers. That is the 1.5 million people that live in Hawaii, ratepayers, $7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we waiting for?
Right.
You know, renewable energy is cheaper. It is cheaper right now. And, you know, as time goes by, it gets cheaper and cheaper. And oil and coal and gas, we don't know what's going to happen to those. But they're coming from, how can I say, from places that generally are politically unstable. And then when somebody sneezes, the prices change and so on and so forth. And there's no environmental impact to solar, wind, or geothermal.
I see what you're saying. Okay. I'm starting to understand it. My problem, of course, is... We're an island, and I said this before I turned the microphone on. We don't have a lot of wind, so we can't really go with wind farms. You're saying hydrogen.
I'm saying hydrogen is a way to move energy around. Right now what we're doing is we're digging a hole in the ground and we're pulling oil that was created hundreds of millions of years ago, and we're taking that and sending it into the atmosphere to get energy. Instead of doing that, we should use renewable energy somewhere to make hydrogen. Mm-hmm. And then we can ship that hydrogen around the world. I just came to Singapore yesterday, so I don't know your situation. I came from Hawaii, and there's all these things going on in Hawaii. But hydrogen is definitely part of the solution.
Is it the only possible renewable clean energy that is an option? What other options are there?
I really wouldn't know. So you have very, very smart engineers in Singapore. Make them figure it out.
Make them figure it out.
Tell them, look, I want to be 100% by whatever the date is. You pick the date. I choose 2045 because it's 5 years ahead of where the IPCC says we have to be 100% by 2050.
Right.
So it gives us a little 5 years ahead. And by the way, it's the 100th anniversary of the United Nations. So I'd like the world to go 100% by 2045. It's a good date.
All right. We're talking to Hank Rogers, founder and chairman of Blue Planet Foundation. In the Hawaii example, you said you first needed to get people to buy in, the people who move the politicians. Where are the people at now? How behind are Hawaiians in
this idea? So the word Hawaiians is probably not the right word, but the people from Hawaii. When you talk to someone in Hawaii, mm-hmm. their expectation is that we're going to go 100% by 2045.
Right.
So we have gone from people thinking it can't be done to mm-hmm. ordinary people thinking that it will be done.
It's a
foregone conclusion. Okay. And now if you tell them, hey, you know what, I want to import more oil, they said, why would you want to do that? And so it's going to be really hard for anybody to turn the clock back mm-hmm. to thinking before, because everybody knows, that Hawaii is an example. It's an island. Sea level
rise.
It's
paradise, isn't it?
Yeah, it's paradise. It is paradise. And the way I look at Hawaii, and I'm not originally from Hawaii, but Hawaii certainly is paradise. And if you look at Hawaii, it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So mm-hmm. it's the last place on Earth, the way I look at it, because it's so far away from everything else, that will be really affected by climate change. Yes, sea level rise, we can't help that. But I mean, in terms of local weather patterns changing, I think Hawaii will be the last because it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And so we're learning how to do the transformation to go from $5 billion a year of oil that's being imported right now to 100% renewable. Yeah, and if we can do that, and when we do that, as we do that, other people can watch us doing it and say, you know, we want to do that too. And guess what? Our nearest neighbor, California, also went 2045, 100% by 2045. So our theory of change is that if we can do it, and if we do it, then other people will look at us and say, hey, we want that too. And guess what? It saves ratepayers how much money? Why would we not do that? Why would everybody in the world not do that?
So where do you see Blue Planet Foundation in the future, expanding from islands to cities, cities to countries?
Originally, I had the idea that I was going to do islands because Hawaii is an island and other islands are similar to Hawaii because they're islands. Mm-hmm. And we have less in common with the U.S. But then as I started moving around the Pacific, I realized that the islands were very different politically. And so whereas in the U.S. you can have a public utilities commission, there are many islands that don't even have a PUC. And so all these things that we're usually, you know, these organizations that we're working with or against, as it may be, don't exist in a lot of these other places. So then we started looking at other states. And other states are more similar politically to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And so we're helping, I think it's 8 other states now. California's already flipped, but we're helping many more states now. So the theory of change is we have that domino effect going on in the U.S. But I think the real challenge and the mission I'm on now is to flip countries, to go outside of the United States and start flipping countries, because we just don't have time to go so slowly.
Right. And we should have been doing this 50 years ago.
We should have been. If we'd done it 50 years, we'd been there ages ago. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people read, myself included, or watched The Inconvenient Truth. And for whatever reason, it might have scared us temporarily, but then we went on with our lives and our business and didn't really do that much to change on an individual level.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the doctor telling you got to quit smoking mm-hmm. because you're going to die of lung cancer. And you like, oh, you feel bad and I'm going to die and this and that. But after a couple of days, your mind plays a trick on you.
Right.
Your mind cannot like feel that danger or that fear and cause you to take action. I mean, it just compartmentalizes it into somewhere in the back. So, okay, whatever. So I'm going to die someday. And I think climate change is kind of like that. Mm-hmm. People hear about it, they know about it, but what can I do about it? And so most people kind of compartmentalize it, but the answer is that we actually have to do something about it. We can't just say, you know,
we can't kick the can down the road anymore.
It's not like, hey, this war is happening somewhere else and it's not my problem. You know, it is your problem. It's everybody's problem, and it will be. Maybe it's not your problem and my problem, but it will definitely be our children's problem.
Sure.
And our grandchildren's problem. And why do we have children if we're going to trash their world? That doesn't make any sense. So we owe it to our children to give them the world that we were given by our parents. I mean,
or a better one.
Or a better one. Well, I'll be happy if it's the same, you know, if it's not worse.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
This is true.
Yeah.
Okay, not worse. We'll start with worse.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll work our way to a better one. You know, I've enjoyed this conversation. It's given me food for thought, and I would be willing to bet it's given our listeners food for thought. And I go back to something that you said a little bit early on before I let you go. It's amazing that a heart attack is something that we should be thankful for.
Yes, I agree. I mean, everybody that's listening should actually just write their epitaph. Write your epitaph. Find out what people are going to say about you after you've died.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at that and say, is that really what you want people to say about you when you die?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not, then write your own epitaph and live to that epitaph. You know, whatever it is that upsets you about the world, go and fix that. Do something about it. Don't just exist. Do something about it.
That's amazingly good advice and great words for us to end this interview with. Hank, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on Money FM 89.3. I hope you bring clean energy to Singapore sometime.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.